All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. This is Mike Piper coming to you from Washington, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's Thursday, the 4th of October. Thursday, as you know, is the day that American Free Press goes to press here on Capitol Hill. I stopped down there to see what those folks were up to earlier today, and seemed to have a pretty good issue rolling off to the printer. So if you are not now subscribing, it's time to do it. American Free Press, you can check out the website on the internet. Well, folks, I want to start off the program tonight making two corrections to some comments I made here on the program the other night. I was talking about a revelation in the Washington Post that Israel's bank, Hapalim, had apparently provided funding for a Hamas-connected group, perhaps even had provided funding for arms for Hamas, which, of course, would be a terrible thing for the Israelis to do, considering the fact that they and Hamas are not the best of friends, to put it lightly. Well, folks, in commenting about the bank Hapalim being involved in that, I said that I recalled that bank Hapalim was owned by a New York-based operation run by a gentleman named Epstein. Well, the gentleman's name is not Epstein. The gentleman's name is, I believe, Feinberg. I just had the information in front of me, folks, and then I lost it. But I should also say that the fact is, it is not the Bank Hapalim, which is the Israeli bank in question, owned by that New York firm. It is the Bank Leumi. That company, folks, I'm really screwing this up. Dan Quayle, former vice president, serves as chairman of the Cerberus Corporation, which was founded by this New York gentleman by the name of Feinberg, and it is that corporation which bought Bank Leumi, or at least it was in the process of attempting to purchase Bank Leumi. Not Bank Hapalim. So I was mistaken in saying that it was Bank Hapalim that was owned by that New York company. I hope you follow that, folks. I'm trying to do a good deed here by correcting my error, and I think I probably confused it. Chances are nobody but the ADL picked up on my mistake there. So in any case, I do try to make a correction when I discover that I have made a mistake, and indeed I did. So I probably put half of you to sleep trying to make that good faith effort to correct my error. Okay, well, aside from all that, I do have a number of things I'd like to go through with you here this evening, and I have some interesting quotations from a very interesting book. Now, we're going to be going to a break here momentarily, but I am here to remind you that the forthcoming No More Wars for Israel conference lies ahead. Next Friday will be the opening guns. Oh, I shouldn't say guns. It will be the opening session Friday evening, a little cocktail party at the location of the conference, kind of an opportunity for everybody to get acquainted. But Saturday morning, first thing, lots of speakers start rolling out, and it's quite a lineup. So you still have time to register. You still have time to make it out there. You can attend, folks, and I hope you do. There's apparently a good number of people who are already still sending in their reservations to Mark Glenn. And, of course, you can go to his website, crescentandcross.com. And you can get more information about the conference there. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about, you're just going to have to wait and find out what I'm going to tell you about. Stay tuned, folks.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. Boy, I hope I don't make any errors tonight that I have to correct tomorrow night, because if I do and do such a horrible job in trying to make those corrections, I wouldn't be anywhere near surprised that you wouldn't want to listen to this show ever again. Good Lord. Well, interesting item in the Washington Times over the last several days, buried in the foreign news in just a little two or three paragraph item. Diana's death inquest opens. The inquest into Princess Diana's death in a Paris car crash 10 years ago opened yesterday with accusations that the British royal family ordered her death. Mohammed Al-Fayed, whose son Dodi also died in a crash, said the couple were killed on the orders of Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip. And, of course, they note, investigations by French and British police concluded the deaths were a tragic accident caused by a speeding, intoxicated chauffeur. Well, you know, British journalist Gordon Thomas, who some years ago actually used to write for American Free Press, had written in his book on the history of the Mossad that Princess Di's chauffeur was actually a Mossad informant. Well, that's very, very interesting in and of itself, but evidently Mohammed Al-Fayed, who, as you might guess from his name, is not a Roman Catholic, he is an Egyptian Muslim, Mohammed Al-Fayed has been very bold to suggest that the British royal family did indeed orchestrate the murder of Princess Diana because the royal family were afraid of having a having the future King of England possibly having a Muslim half-brother if Princess Di had married Dodi Fayed. Well, a lot of people don't know about this inquest, and I think that's very, very interesting considering the infatuation of the mass media in this country with the story of Princess Di. Yet it gets buried here in the Washington Times, and I didn't see any mention of it at all in the Washington Post. Now, it could have been there, and I missed it, but I am looking forward to doing some checking on the Internet and just see what is circulating out there about this. I am pleased to note that my good friend, Mark Lane, best known for his best-selling book, Rush to Judgment on the JFK Assassination, and also known by those who make it their business to know these things, also known as a very outspoken critic of Israel, one of the leading American Jewish critics of Israel, not a Zionist, as has been alleged by one Christopher Berlin. Mark Lane is an anti-Zionist Jewish American. Mark Lane was actually working for Mohammed Al-Fayed in spearheading parts of the investigation that led up to what we now have as this inquest. I haven't talked to Mark in some time, but I'm looking forward to finding out exactly what's going on over there. Speaking of Mark Lane, this ties all a couple things together here. I just learned that the loathsome Christopher Berlin, this sociopath, has been telling people that the No War, More Wars for Israel conference is a Zionist plot concocted by Mark Lane, who he describes as a Zionist. And, of course, as I've noted here, Mark Lane is not a Zionist, and if he were, he certainly wouldn't have been hired by Mohammed Al-Fayed. But, yeah, Berlin is saying that Mike Piper and Mark Lane are conniving to collect the names of critics of Israel who show up at this conference. Well, of course, that's a patent lie on its face, and it's otherwise ridiculous because it's not much of an opportunity to collect names, but these are the kind of insane lies that are told by this character, Balloon, this kinkster Balloon. You know, it's kind of funny. He's also been telling people that he was an independent journalist all these years, and he was only loosely affiliated, if any, thing with American Free Press and the Spotlight, the two publications that gave Christopher Berlin the widespread identity that he did develop over the last several years. But I thought it was worth hearkening back to some information I had provided here on the air before just to show you what kind of a bald-faced liar this Berlin is. I have the official accounting records put together by the accountant who had worked for Liberty Lobby and now works for American Free Press. From July of 2000 to October 2006, Christopher Berlin was paid a grand total of $266,234.46. Now, here's what's more interesting, which just demonstrates that Christopher was hardly anything but some free-floating independent contractor with no real affiliation with American Free Press. During that same time frame, folks, he received $59,918.66. Let's round that off, folks. $60,000 in travel, telephone, and office expenses, and some medical payments as well. $60,000, folks, and this bold-faced liar would have you believe that he was some sort of grand internet presence. There was no such thing as investigative journalist Christopher Berlin before he was hired. Turned out to be a big mistake by the Spotlight. I tell you, you really meet some interesting people in this business. Well, this business, of course, is politics, folks. And, you know, an interesting little book I picked up here the other day. It's called The Almanac of Political Corruption, Scandals, and Dirty Politics. The author is Kim Long, L-O-N-G. New book, all about American political corruption. And I want to tell you, folks, I was surprised to read in here that there was a law enacted in 1948. It's the False Statements Statute. It is U.S. Code, Title 18, Section 1001. If indeed this statute has not been repealed, it was intended to hold government officials in the executive as well as the legislative branch liable for what they said, even when not under oath. Now, this is very interesting because the description of this statute is in a section describing the conviction of a Republican congressman from California, Ernest Bramblett. He was convicted in 1954. He received a suspended sentence of 4 months to 1 year in prison. He's described as being the first for a congressman to be convicted under that statute. Well, folks, if that statute has not been repealed, then I think we need to find out if indeed it still is in place, and we should start demanding that politicians who have made false statements, and we know that they were false statements, we should demand that they be charged under this act. It's a federal offense. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. It's the False Statement Statute, U.S. Code, Title 18, Section 1001. I find this very, very interesting because I have been saying for, I don't like to see the Constitution amended. I think, everybody wants an amendment to the Constitution for one thing or another. I think we've got enough amendments there. Just leave it as it is. But I have said if there was ever one amendment to the Constitution that I would like to see made, that would be that all public officials, when in office and in speaking to the public, should be considered to be under oath. Well, essentially, that is what we have here in this false statement statute. And I think this is a very, very interesting statute that obviously the politicians don't want us to know about, because we've got a lot of lying, crooked, low-down, filthy, vile pieces of garbage out there in public life today who are lying constantly to the American people. And isn't it about time that we take them to task? If we have the legislative authority to do it right there, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't you like to see John McCain and Rudy Giuliani in leg irons and handcuffs? I don't know. We might just let John McCain go. The good news is, folks, he's running out of money. And the other good news is that Ron Paul apparently now has actually more money in the bank than John McCain. Ron Paul's fundraising is taking off, folks. That doesn't mean, though, that you should just step back and not support him because other people are doing it. No, you need to encourage more and more people to support Ron Paul. We had a caller here last night who raised some questions about Ron Paul. And as I've said time and time again, no politician is perfect. But I tell you what, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd rank Ron Paul up there just about 9, considering the fact that the people he's running against in the Republican Party primary are down there just about 0 or even lower. So, you know, sometimes we got to take what we can get, folks. Now, one thing we shouldn't take is this continuing racket about the Holocaust. And the Holocaust is once again in the news. Well, it's always in the news, folks. And when we come back from our break, which is coming up here momentarily, I'll tell you all the latest news on the Holocaust. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Ah, the Holocaust. The Holocaust, the Holocaust. There is a bill in the House of Representatives, folks, proposing $10 million in federal funds for Holocaust education. $10 million in federal funds for Holocaust education. Why? Why? You know, think of what you could do with $10 million if you had it, okay? Wouldn't it be nice if someone dropped $10 million on you? You could really use it. Think of what could be done with $10 million if you really wanted to be generous and help out homeless people. Provide job training for people in the inner cities. Even fix up maybe a bridge somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. But the federal government is going to appropriate $10 million more for Holocaust education. I am so damn tired of the Holocaust. You know, every time I see someone on television yapping about the Holocaust, you know, I've actually turned the television off, folks. You know, I think really in some respects that's the approach we need to take. When someone starts yapping about the Holocaust, say, oh, that again? Oh, how boring. You people are always talking about the Holocaust. Enough already. Well, on this issue of the Holocaust, our good friend David Irving is getting jumped on by others known as Holocaust deniers, because David has now said that he thinks maybe the Nazis actually did kill some Jews. He says that Jews were killed at Treblinka, for example, by the Nazis. Well, that's going to upset, and it has upset a lot of the people who are critics of this Holocaust industry, this racket, this Holocaust racket that's used by American Jewish organizations and the State of Israel to, frankly, make a lot of money and use it as a political weapon against anyone who would dare say boo, not only the State of Israel, but criticize the actions of individual Jewish people or even organized Jewish groups. I've heard numerous stories about people's actions being explained away because a woman in an office situation who was misbehaving badly, as they say, well, you weren't allowed to criticize her because her parents were Holocaust survivors. Well, this is the kind of thing that goes on and on in our daily life here in this country. Well, in any case, now David Irving is under fire by others who don't believe all the big lies about the Holocaust in World War II, because David apparently says that he thinks around 2.4 million Jews were killed by the Nazis. But at the same time, he also says still that Auschwitz was not a quote-unquote death camp. Well, in either of those instances, folks, even by saying only 2.4 million Jews were killed by the Nazis, that riles up the official story. That riles up those who believe in the official story that 6 million Jews, maybe more, maybe as many as 10 or 11 million, were deliberately slaughtered by the Nazis in homicidal gas chambers, or gas ovens, as they like to call them. Well, folks, you know, I myself, although I have been called a Holocaust denier, I don't believe the 6 million number. I think it's been thoroughly refuted by a lot of research, by a lot of people, some of whom are friends of mine. But I will say this much, that I've never been completely convinced that the numbers, that there weren't actual slaughters of numbers of Jews in numbers of places in Europe by whether German troops, whether by the SS or the Waffen-SS, or even perhaps by domestic elements inside some of the countries that the Nazis occupied. But needless to say, the story about David Irving's change of mind, his revision of his revisionist thinking, is creating quite a stir among those who are interested in the Holocaust. So I don't condemn David for saying that. In fact, he may be closer to the truth than everybody. It may be that the figures were that high. I don't know. I don't pretend to know, but I don't believe the 6 million figure. And if I said that in a number of countries on the face of this planet, even including Democratic Germany, I would go to jail. And I tell you what, that is precisely why we need freedom of speech in this country. We need to be able to say these things, and we also need to be aware of the fact that there are many people in this country who want to take away our freedom of speech and make it criminal to say that you don't believe that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. So, the saga of David Irving has taken a new twist. This little rat out in California, this front man for Andrew E. Allen, the CIA and Mossad-connected San Francisco millionaire, this little rat front man for him, this guy who goes about under the name Mark Weber. Weber has criticized Mr. Irving, as have several others, but that's another story for another time. Okay, we are going to the break, folks. When we come back, a little bit of interesting history about the Rothschilds.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Before we get into our little history, we're going to hit a little current event here, or it's actually history and current events combined. There's a nice lady, I'm sure she's a nice lady, who lives in Oak Hill, Virginia. Her name is Lynn Smith Derbyshire, or Derbyshire. The last name is spelled D-E-R-B-Y-S-H-I-R-E. She lives in Oak Hill, Virginia. Her brother, a Marine captain, was killed in a 1983 bombing of the Marine Corps barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. Well, Lynn Smith Derbyshire of Oak Hill, Virginia, has co-written a column with Judith Young of Morristown, New Jersey. Her son, Jeffrey, was killed in that 1983 bombing. They have written a commentary for the Washington Times saying that Iran should be held accountable for what happened at the Marine Corps barracks and also at the Achille Lauro, the hijacking of the Achille Lauro. And then they go on and on and on. Well, of course, no one likes to see acts of terrorism. No one likes to see American Marines get killed. But, you know, I don't know if Lynn Smith Derbyshire knows that former Mossad operative Victor Ostrovsky has written in his book, By Way of Deception, about the Mossad, that our friends, our good friends, the Israelis in the Mossad, knew that there was going to be a bombing of the Marine Corps barracks in Beirut and that they allowed it to happen, causing 241 men to die. It was mass murder, as Lynn Smith, Derby Shearer, and Judith Young say. But, you know, I just wonder if Lynn Smith, Derby Shearer of Oak Hill, Virginia, knows that our Israeli friends knew that that was going to happen. I wonder if Lynn Smith, Derby Shearer, who is blaming the government of Iran for this crime, is aware of the Israeli role in it. I wonder if she knows that the Israelis have been pinpointed to have been behind the Achille Lauro hijacking, although it was carried out by a number of Arab gentlemen. It turns out that they were unknowingly working for Israel's Mossad. I wonder if Lynn Smith Derby Shearer of Oak Hill, Virginia, knows that even the attack on Entebbe, the raid on Entebbe, was a response to a provocation by Israel's Mossad, as was revealed some months ago in a release from British intelligence. These are things that this nice lady obviously doesn't know about. And if she does know about it, then I would expect her to come out and demand that Israel come clean. You know, every time I hear about the attack on the USS Liberty, we know the Israelis did that. They claim it was an accident. We know otherwise. You heard the men of the Liberty on this program yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, tell about it. We know that Victor Ostrovsky has revealed that the Israelis knew about the attack on the Marine barracks. So when I hear about these things and know that the Israelis did this, I really, really find it hard to crank up my sympathy for the Israelis when I hear about people doing nasty stuff to them, because they have either done or allowed to have done nasty things to Americans. There will be one hell of a reckoning one day, ladies and gentlemen. There will be a reckoning, that's for sure. I can guarantee you that. Well, a little bit of history here. Just before the war, the Civil War, that is, Solomon Rothschild of the Parisian branch of the noted banking family traveled to New Orleans. There, ladies and gentlemen, he met with Judah Benjamin. He was United States Senator from Louisiana, then later Secretary of State in the Confederacy. He also met with Henry Hyams, the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, and Dr. Edwin Moisey, the Speaker of the Louisiana Legislature. Now, these three gentlemen happened to be Jewish. And this is what Solomon Rothschild wrote home. He says, "What is astonishing here, or rather what is not astonishing, is the high position occupied by our co-religionists, or rather by those who were born into the faith and who, having married Christian women and without converting, have forgotten the practices of their fathers. And what is odd," said Rothschild, "all these men have a Jewish heart and take an interest in me because I represent the greatest Jewish house in the world." That whole role of the Rothschild family in stirring up the Civil War is something that not enough research has been done on that, folks. And when you start getting into research into the Civil War and digging out the facts, you upset a lot of people on both sides, because the people who are sympathetic to the South absolutely want to think that the South was the innocent victim of Northern aggression, and the people who favor the North say that the Southerners were evil rebels who broke away from our republic. So I don't know what to say, folks, but I find it very, very interesting that Solomon Rothschild traveled to New Orleans to meet with Judah Benjamin, who later became one of the leaders of the Confederacy. This is taken from a book, The Provincials, A Personal History of Jews in the South, by Eli N. Evans. Well, we have some callers lining up here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be joining them in a moment, or they are going to be joining us in a moment, I should say. But another interesting little item I came across, it's kind of interesting. There's a gentleman down in Jackson, Mississippi, named Al Rosenfield. He's a businessman there in that community. He's an old gentleman now, apparently, if he's still alive. He runs a ladies' dress shop named Fields on Capitol Street in Jackson. Well, it turns out one time they had a meeting, a Zionist meeting there in Jackson, and guess what? Mr. Rosenfield, who is Jewish, came in, and he walked up there and tore down the Israeli flag. Well, the author of this book, Eli Evans, interviewed Mr. Rosenfield, and he said, this is what Mr. Rosenfield said. He says, "I sure did stir him up, didn't I? Shoot, I'd have tossed that flag out the window if there'd been one open. Those people over there in Israel think of me as part of them, and I plain resent it. Here, they always bother me for money. I just can't seem to shake them. I just don't believe that the church and politics mix." Well, the author asked Mr. Rosenfield, did he ever want to go to Israel? Would he like to visit? He says, "I have no more desire to go over there than I have to paddle up the Amazon River in a canoe sweating bullets." Good for Mr. Rosenfield. Now, there's a real American, folks. A good Jewish American went in there and tore down that Israeli flag. And I tell you what, every time I see an Israeli flag, I think of that Israeli flag as the symbol of that nation that attacked those men on the USS Liberty. And, you know, someday if I ever have the opportunity to burn an Israeli flag in public, you know I'm going to do it. That's a flag, the sight of which makes me very, very angry. Kind of funny, folks. Just talked about our old friend Christopher Boleyn earlier. You know, there's a famous incident in history, which is also mentioned in this book, The Provincials, by Eli Evans. Talks about the famous time during the American Civil War when General Ulysses Grant and General William Sherman were complaining about what Sherman called swarms of Jews and speculators. And Grant himself issued what a rabbi called the most sweeping anti-Jewish regulation in all American history. It was General Order Number 11 that said, "The Jews, as a class, violating every regulation of trade established by the Treasury Department and also department orders, are hereby expelled from Tennessee within 24 hours from the receipt of this order." Well, needless to say, that caused a bit of a commotion. And guess who it was? Guess who the Jewish leader was who went to complain to President Lincoln about General Grant? It was Cesar Caskell of Paducah, Kentucky. Caskell, eminent Jewish name, the name of Christopher Boleyn's wife, Helya Brand Caskell. I wonder if Helya Caskell is related to this Jewish leader from Tennessee who complained about General Grant. Just a thought, just a question. Okay, that having been said, let's go to Mike in New York calling. Mike, come on aboard.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
How you doing tonight?
I was wondering if you were able to review the book by Abe Foxman called The Deadliest Lies, The Israeli Lobby and the Myth of Jewish Control.
You know, I did. You know, I was talking about this book the other day with Mark Glenn. Mark Glenn and I were talking about this, and, you know, it's actually a very boring book. Have you looked at it?
No, I was just, checked in onto the ADL website and seen this in the preface.
Yeah, you know,
for
actually,
it, and, you know, that's all I need to know, basically.
Yeah, you know, I actually have a copy of it somewhere in this morass that I call my office. And it's kind of funny because I remember coming across one thing in the book which was just absolutely a blatant misrepresentation of something that Mearsheimer and Walt had written
right,
in their
basically
book.
Basically, that's supposed to be the counterpoint to Mearsheimer and Walt's
yeah, that's what he, and also to Jimmy Carter. And it's really, as I say, you know, I always rush out and buy anything that's put out by the Anti-Defamation League because I want to know what they're up to. But I have to say, the book was really boring. I mean,
I wonder how long was it sitting on the shelf? You know, he just blew the dust off and goes, "Okay, it's a good time now to bring this out." You know,
yeah. You know, most people in the real world, don't rush out and buy books by the Anti-Defamation League or its principles. You know, what I mean, as I always say, only Semites and anti-Semites buy books from the Anti-Defamation League. So, but unfortunately, probably
right.
Every public library in the United States will buy a copy of the book.
Right.
So,
it's unfortunate. Either you're a Semite or an anti-Semite at that point in time.
Well, this is exactly what the Anti-Defamation League has drawn the lines in this, in this world with their rhetoric and with their actions. You're either you know, with them or against them. And
no, there is no middle ground. That's the point. And if you say anything boo Jew, you're anti-Semite, done.
Exactly.
You're all
exactly.
done. You're all done. Now, I had another question for you also on the bent spear, which would be the nuclear weapons that got maneuvered from one base to another, unauthorized. And then, as it turns out, a lot of the soldiers involved with that turned up dead within 10-day span. I hear nothing of that. I mean, what I hear of that was obviously what they're saying in one breath is those were supposed to go over to the Middle East and they were going to be used on Iran. But, I mean, nothing said about all these people that died. It was like 10 people, wasn't it?
Right. I don't remember the exact figures. Mark Glenn wrote a piece for American Free Press about that. And, you know, it has, but that aspect of the whole thing has
been... I
mean,
it just stinks. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. It's been covered up. I mean, the Washington Post had a big front page story about that incident the other day. Very long, detailed story. But unless I missed it, I didn't see anything about that aspect of it in the Post. You know, they kind of kept it on this very analytical level, you know
well,
raising
the, you know, the bugaboo line was that it was a breakdown in communication, blah, 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 all the way down the line. But then all of a sudden you have these, you know, people lesser down the food chain, you know, all of a sudden they're all dead. We're
supposed to believe this is a coincidence.
Right, exactly.
Just,
you know,
exactly.
But we're conspiracy theorists, you know, 101 here, so I guess, you know, that's, you know, we're not supposed to even, you know, raise an eyebrow to that.
And nobody
said nothing about it. I've looked on the internet high and low for any information on the circumstances of the deaths of these soldiers, and you get nothing. It's like a blackout.
Well, from any so-called mainstream sources, that is. Yeah, I mean, obviously people know about it, and as I say, Mark Glenn wrote about it in American Free Press, and other independent sites on the internet have talked about it. But you're not finding any of that in the mainstream press, and you know, see. You know, this is, let me tell you something, this goes to show you how even people who have doubts about the integrity of the mainstream press, I can tell you that over the years, we had exclusive stories in American Free Press, and then earlier in the predecessor newspaper, The Spotlight, and the only places they were reported were in American Free Press or The Spotlight, but some of our own readers would call us up and say, "Well, why haven't I seen this reported anywhere else? Why are you the only newspaper that's reporting it?"
Right.
And these are very sincere people who are subscribing to these publications because they want alternative news sources.
Right. I could be ignorant because I don't subscribe to that, but I'm just saying, you know, doing a general coverage through the internet because, you know, and that brings up a good point. Just today I had somebody call me. They were a marketing research firm, and they wanted to know what basically what it came down to was the news. What news do I watch at night? And I go, "I don't watch none of the regular media." I go, "It's all corrupt." I go, "I get my stuff on the internet." And it's just because, you know, you have eight companies that control the media, so I don't even bother with TV news at, you know, 6 o'clock
what,
or 6:30 at night.
What was the pollster's reaction to that?
It was the end of the conversation, and she said, I will make a footnote. And that was it. And it was click goodbye. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not done. You know what I mean? I'm ready to go on here, you know?
Yeah, well, you see, that's the whole thing. You know, our whole society is hinges upon what appears in the mass media in America, particularly the broadcast media. And if it goes beyond that loop, then it is not perceived as real news.
Right. And, you know, they were trying to poll me about the loop, and I'm going, no, I'm outside the loop. And they go, okay, thanks very much. We'll make a footnote. See you later. Have a nice day. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Don't hang up. I want to talk some more, you know?
Yeah, Mike, hang on for the break. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We have Mike on from New York here at the moment. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are wrapping up the hour here. We're not going to be able to get to any more callers. Apologies to those who have been waiting. We do have Mike from New York aboard. We're talking about the way the media can make an item disappear. You know, Mike, I had this very good friend who was actually he was an Emmy Award-winning television news producer who came from his father was a very, very well-known political writer for a very major newspaper in this country, and I will not embarrass that family by letting the Anti-Defamation League know that I know these people, so I won't name them. But needless to say, this friend of mine and I were I remember this so clearly. We were at a cookout one evening, and I was talking about the fact that there had been major riots in Switzerland some years ago by people who objected to the fact that there were a group of international bankers meeting there. I think it was in Davos. In any case, my friend said, "Where did you hear that?" And I said, "Well, one of our correspondents in Europe phoned it in this morning," and he said, "Oh, I don't think that happened." He said, "I see all the news that's piped in from Europe, and there were absolutely no news about that whatsoever." He said, "I think your friend's pulling your leg." Now, a major news producer in a major city in the United States on a major network, didn't hear about it, he didn't think that it happened. So
right.
That's the mindset.
It didn't happen because he didn't hear about it. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. And see, if you consider that this is the mindset of the people who are in the mass broadcast media in this country, and they have such a faith in the people above them that they feel like they are the ones who are really giving the people the news, and there are so many people out there who think that what they see and hear on television is the news.
Yeah, those are the idiots that have no idea. I mean, they have no idea what's going on. I mean, that's the same thing as like the Bilderberg meetings that doesn't exist, it never happens, and then, you know, year after year, well, maybe it does, maybe they're meeting. Oh, yeah, they're meeting, but they're not, you know, trying to control the world. And you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly.
And on and on and on and on, you know.
Yeah, it's a strange mindset, you know, of people out there. And, you know, now with the Internet, there's a lot of people who really think, you know, people in the hinterlands who really think they're tuned in because they can access the website of the New York Times, a newspaper that has never been distributed in their hometown.
Right. But, hey, you have to give them credit, though. At least they're online looking.
Well, that's true enough.
And eventually they're going to stumble across something that will, will pique their, it'll poke a hole in their paradigm.
I guess that's the one saving grace, the fact that they are online. They might accidentally learn something that they didn't
right.
know.
Because they're not going to learn nothing reading what's being fed to them. And, you know, I talk to people and I try to wake them up and they look at me cross-eyed like, you know, I got a problem. It's like, no, I have facts. And I'll sit down and I'll argue facts and I go, what are your facts? And these people have no facts. You know what I mean? They have Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, you know, spewage out of their mouth, and they don't even know what they're saying.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a journalist by profession, too. I frequently confound him with things that I know, and he insists they can't be true. And the reason why they're not true is because he didn't read it in the Washington Post.
Right.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, have a good evening. All right, folks, we are wrapping up this hour. We will be here tomorrow night, God willing. Have a good evening, folks. I am rather tired, and I think I'm going to go to bed. It's late here for us old folks in Washington, D.C. Those of you with staying power, however, stay tuned for good programming with Rick Adams. I wish I was wide awake enough to listen in myself. Have a good evening, folks.
It's true.